So let's get to our sugya and Baba Ben Sia. So the Gemara, going on from Beis Amid Aleph to Beis Amid Beis, had asked the question, all right, everyone's with me. Let's wake up. Let's make Rabbi Tarrigan proud with a great day of shir. The Mishnah is redundant. Double Lashon. So what does the Gemara say? It's not redundant, but rather it's two cases. What are the two cases? All right, one case is that we're fighting over the lost object. How is it? Omer Shali. And the other case is Mekach u'Memkar. So the Gemara asks the famous question, in the case of Mekach u'Memkar, we're not sure who bought the talis, who didn't buy the talis, what's the Gemara's famous question? V'lech zeh? Right? Just ask the guy. Who did you get the money from? They're both... For all we know, Reuven bought it, and when he walked out of the store, she's grabbed hold of the talis, and now he's claiming he bought it. So just ask the storekeeper, who'd you sell it to? Or maybe it happened to the opposite. Just ask the storekeeper. V'lech zeh, come on, not God. And what's the Gemara's answer? Well, he actually got money from both. So one of the people he actually agreed to, and the other person just kind of shtipped the money into his hands. He just promised he's not sure which one. He's not sure which one. But what's the assumption of the Gemara? That if he would have known, if he could tell us who he got the money, despite the fact that there's no witnesses beyond them, in the street when they're fighting over the talis, and despite the fact that they both come in being a muhsuk, they're both holding the talis. The assumption of the Gemara is that if the mocher said, I got the money from so-and-so, that would be sufficient. So this bothers who? Who does this bother? Excellent. This was a half-trick question, but you got it. Good trick you. Got to wake up really early in the morning to trick up real. It bothers everybody. It bothers all the Rishonim. How could it be? At best, what is the mocher? An Eid Echad. So since when is an Eid Echad work to make money change hands? So there are various answers given in the Rishonim to try to understand the assumed unique ne'amanus of a mocher in a case of Mekach u'Memkar. I didn't give you those on the Makoro sheet. I understand. I'm guessing that Rabbi Tarrigan may have discussed them. There are different explanations. There's a Ran in Kiddushin, a Sheet in Mekubetz says here. Right? If you didn't believe the mocher, you could never have business. Maybe it's amigo. There's different explanations for why that should be. But that is the approach of most of the Rishonim. Yes, the assumption of the Gemara is that. Yes, that seems to be a chiddush. But we'll come up with an answer for why that's okay. Standing one against everybody in a courageous, lonely fight. Who takes on all the other Rishonim? Not Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam slash Tosfos. Tosfos doesn't quote the Rabbeinu Tam, but when we see the Rosh or the Ran and they quote Rabbeinu Tam, it's basically the same thing we have in our Tosfos, right? Rashi is giving an explanation, but Rashi's working with the assumption that it's about money also. But it's Tosfos, and Dibra Maskel V'Lechzei, who has a completely different approach. If you take a look, let's look inside, let's read the key words in the middle of Tosfos V'Lechzei. He's discussing all the difficult pshatim that people are giving to try to explain this. And then he says midway through, Achim dachak lefareish kain. They're wasting their mental energy. They didn't need to push so hard because that's not what the Gemara is about at all. But rather, dachak leparich shapir. No, it's not a difficult question to understand. It's a good question. Da'af agav de mecho biyodo. Echoing the Gemara's Kiddushin, that maybe the mocher should only be believed if he's still holding the talis, but here he's not. The two protagonists are holding it. Nevertheless, he should still be believed. Why? Ked echad. What's the consequence of that? Not like all the other Rishonim who said, therefore, give the talis to somebody, but rather, v'amai shneim nishbaim, oso shemocher misayeo. Yipoter mishvua, yiftor mishvua, v'idach yishava shvua daraisa. It's not that the Eid Echad has come l'mamon, says Tosfos. That's all the other Rishonim twisting themselves into a mental pretzel to defend that. So Tosfos have a much easier, elegant explanation. What's that, Nuriel? It's not that about money and we have to defend that. Rather, it's an Eid Masaya for what? Liv Tor Mishvua. Now Tosfos adds something which we'll get back to, that there's two implications of the for Shvua. We'll get back to that in a minute when we see the Rambam. One is that the person that he says he got them from should be punted from taking the Shvua. And once you have an Eid Echad against you, so what's that's one of the classical Shavuos Daraisa, Shavuos Eid Echad. Let's not do that now, okay? Let's focus on Shir, not toilet paper. So, a whole new way of looking at the Gemara. And that, of course, is the basis of our Sugya, the basis of our Shir today. Eid Echad, Misayeya Liftor Mishvua. So, in the context of the Gemara, Tosos explains that just in terms of a shak levataria, as a back and forth. I don't think it's a huge leap, but I would say distilling that, not in an interpretive way, as Tosos does, to explain a Gemara back and forth, but rather just distilling it into a psak halacha, comes along the Rosh, the Ran, all the other Rishonim who quote Rabbeinu Tam. And they say, what do you see from this Tosvos? Not in a how do I understand the Gemara sense, but just what would be the halacha that Eid Echad works liftor mishvua. Okay, that is the chiddush that they quote. Again, it's pretty implicit in it, but that is the chiddush that they quote from Tosfos. Now, the question is, the million-dollar question is what kind of shvua? Right? Again, if you learn the Gemara, that the Gemara has nothing to do with shvua, so you could still ask the question, but you might not, because it has nothing to do with our Gemara. But if you read our Gemara the way Tosfos did, the Rebbe Ben Tam did, says the Maharabi Rutenberg, it comes out of halacha, that Eid Echad is poter from shvua, exempt someone from shvua. But we know, broadly speaking, that there are two kinds of shvuos. We have shvuos d'oraisa and shvuos d'rabbanon. So first let's get a few examples, let's get a few terms. What are the classical shvuos d'oraisa? So we mentioned one. One is shvuos Eid Echad. Number two, Moed B'Mikzas and Shomrim. Excellent. Three classical shvuos d'oraisa. Now in all three, they're accomplishing something similar, which is what are they doing in terms of the money? They are allowing the person who takes the shvuah to keep the money. We call that a nishba v'niftar. Instead of having to pay, nishba, take the shvuah v'niftar, and you won't have to pay. That's often as referred to. Shvuah's nishba v'niftar. What are examples of shvuah's dirabanan? Well, that's a descriptive term, yes, but you're one step ahead of me. Not the first time. Nechbal, Nigzal, Shvuos Asachir, right? Asachir, right? The seventh parak of Masech the Shavuos has one humongous Mishnah. I think it's like 30-something lines. Which says, Ve'elu Shvuos Hanotlin, these are the Shvuos Darabanan. In fact, sometimes you'll see in Rishonim or other literature, they refer to the Shvuos Darabanan just as the Shvuos HaMishnah. Why? Because contained in this mammoth, huge Mishnah, it's the whole parak. One Mishnah for the whole parak, huge, huge Mishnah. List, I don't know how many, 18, 20, 30, I can't remember exactly how many Shavuos there are. So a classical kind of Shavuah, right, we're not exactly sure what happened. There's certain circumstantial evidence that you're the ganef. There's certain circumstantial evidence that you punched the guy in the nose. Maybe he tripped down the steps, but it looks more likely that somebody punched him, Nechbal, or Nigzal, or Socher. And what do we say in some cases? If the person who's making the claim will take the Shvua, then he'll get paid. That's a Shvuas HaNotlin. If he takes the Shvua, he'll get paid. By and large, the Shvuas D'Rabbanan are a Shvuas HaNotlin, the Shvuas D'Araisa are a Shvua V'Niftar. There's also Shvuas Heses, which is a little different, right? If I demand money from Gedalia and he says, what you talking about, Willis? It's a 1980s reference I just threw in there for you. Huh? Anyway, that is the Jastro official definition of Lohayd Varmi Olam. Really, I'm telling you, look it up in Jastro, Lohayd Varmi Olam, what you talking about, Willis? You don't believe me? You'll check it out this year.
No,
okay.
It's what you're talking about. But you have to
write okay, fair enough. Anyway, so let's say, so the Gemara says, listen, the guy makes a claim, the Beis Din's totally ignoring it, he doesn't get any love, the guy denies it totally, And Bezdin is just going to throw him out. He's going to get nothing. Midaraisa Kofar Bakol gets nothing. So we say, no, Shvuas Hesis. We kind of push him. We force him. Just make a Shvuah. Lahafis Daito Shalabala Bayis. So that's a Durabanan, which just doesn't get you anything. But that's not classic. The classical Durabanans in that famous mission and Shvuas are Shvuas Hanotlin. And the three Shvuas Daraisa, which you guys correctly mentioned, are Shvuas Beniftar. So now the question is, which is huge, it's not a small thing at all. Even if we assume, like Tosafot, like Rabbeinu Tam, reading our Gemara, even if we assume that we can extrapolate from our Gemara halacha lamaisa, that Eid Echad is Messiah, Liftor, Mishvuah, what's the question, Svi? What kind of Shvuas? Is it only Shvuas Darabanan? Or is it even Shvuas Daraisa? Now, what is the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam? Okay. Well, what's the Shita of the Maharam? Now, if you look in the Rush, right? Was that is it explicit in the Rush? Where is it explicit? Well, I take it back. In Tosfos, is it explicit? Right. Tosfos just says he'll be poter him from a shvua. And in our case, what's the shvua of our Mishnah? A shvua derabanan. That's not obvious. However, if you take a look at the Ran, you may have been wondering why I gave you that first part of the Ran on the sheet, because it seemed to be identical to Tosfos. But he adds one word. No, he adds the one word we're just discussing. You have the source sheet. Take a look where he's quoting after the Maram. Ba'acherim mosifin. Acherim mosifin. Shepoter afilo mishvua. Da'oraisa. Chayin das Maram he written Burke or Berg, as the case may be. That confused you. You're not the only one. I don't know exactly. It was with a K, with a G, a Gimel or a Kuf. You see it quoted different ways. We call him Maram he written Berg, the G sound. But sometimes we're shown quote it with a Kuf. Same guy. Same city, Revi of the Rush. So we could be medayik from the fact that they were going on our Mishnah that it for sure a Darabanan, but is it even a Daraisa? So first of all, the Ran said it explicitly. But let's say we didn't look at the Ran. Let's say we're just looking at the Rush. What are the proof? The first, there's a lot of proofs, but for our purpose, let's stick with the first two. What are the first two proofs that are quoted in the Rush for this din that Maharami Rutenberg is saying that you see Eid Echad is Mechayev Shvua? What were the first two proofs? Yes, Gedalia.
The Kalachomer and
the Limud and correct. So let's do in reverse order that you said. You're right. Excellent. Okay. The first thing is the Pasuk. What's the Pasuk? The Pasuk is right. Lo Yakum Eid Echad Beish Lekal Avon. So it doesn't come for oven or comes for chata, says the Gemara. Avakamhu l'shvua. So says the Maharam. Does the Gemara distinguish between which kind of shvua it says? If I just tell you it's come l'shvua, and I don't tell you which shvua, what does my silence imply? Right.
But this is talking about being chayav shvua, not necessarily being poter shvua.
Good. Correct. But here, again, it's doing both because there's two people. Right? So the question is it primarily... So it impacts, in our case, it impacts the second guy to make him take a shvua to get anything. But the initial, when he's coming and saying, I took the money from Liz, that's a shvua v'niftar. Right? He shouldn't have to take the shvua. He shouldn't have to do anything. He should be able to just keep it, not have to give up anything. It's true for the other guy, it'll be Shvua Sanotlin, because he's only going to get if he takes a Shvua. But his primary posture was a defensive one. He came to say, I took the money from him, let him keep it. Shvua Saniftar, okay? So first of all, says the Rosh, said the Maharami Rutenberg, it sounds like it's a Daraisa, because that's how he reads the Pasuk. And the second thing Gedalia correctly said is, his argument of logic is a Kavachomer. Now, some of you spoke to me yesterday, weren't sure what, trying to understand the Kavachomer. Who wants to answer? What was the Kavachomer?
Well,
What's the Kal V'chomer, Daniel?
So what I understood was that if an Eid can make you Chayav Shvuah.
Who's you?
You, the one holding something.
Good, that's the key word. That's the key word of the Kal V'chomer.
Yeah, so even if you're the Mosak, an Eid Achad can make you Chayav Shvuah. So Kal V'chomer, if you're the Mosak, an Eid Achad can make you Potter from the same Shvuah, because it's you're holding anyway.
What's a bigger Chiddush? To be Mechayav you or to exempt you? Obviously to be Mechayav you. So if we're saying that he can mechayev him, the kol shekain that he can exempt him, he can be poter him.
How does that speak to motive and mitzvahs in the show?
What do you mean?
Meaning it clearly speaks to Eid Echad, because if an Eid Echad can do it, are we assuming that an Eid Echad, that Eid Echad is equal to all other shuls?
That sounds like it. Okay, that line in the Rush, that Kal V'chomer, is specifically talking about Eid Echad. In that context, he doesn't quote the other things. In other words, if Eid Echad is the ability to be mechayev a shvua, no kol shekainah should be have the ability to exempt somebody. I'm not saying it's a ironclad or the best Kal V'chomer ever, but the purpose for us is not, we're not judging whether it's a better Kal V'chomer or not, right? And clearly, other Rishonim don't like the whole argument. But what do we see from this, as Gedalia before said? What is Kal V'chomer? What level of power does a Kal V'chomer have? A Kal V'chomer is a Daraisa argument, a Daraisa vehicle. So, a Daraisa instrument. So, the Mashmos, already in the Rosh and Marami Rutenberg, is that he probably even means Daraisa. But when you look at the Ran, as I mentioned, the Ran adds that word. The Ran says it beferish. You don't have to guess in the Ran. The Ran. Yeah, see, in this position, the Marami Rutenberg says, you see from Rabbeinu Tam, which means you see from our Tosfos, that Eid Echad is Messiah Liftor Mishvuah. Our question is, what kind of Shvuah? So the implication, you can be Medayik in the Rosh, that he means a Shvuah Daraisa. But in the Ran, you don't have to be Medayik. Again, I think that sometimes this is a key thing in general, not just for our Sugya. This is a key thing, right? Which is that when you have two Rishonim seeming to say the same thing, sometimes they really are. But you have to be careful when you read them, because sometimes if you see that they started off saying the same thing, so then we don't read it so carefully. Right? We don't read it so carefully. If you didn't read the Ran so carefully, you would have missed that line, because almost everything else just looks like the Rush, just looks like Tosos. But he added that one word. And it's even works, Sayan Liftor, Bishua the Oraisa. And to chayv the other guy Shvuah also. That's what I'm saying. This is in his explanation, in his presentation of that Shita. I don't think the Ran himself necessarily agrees to that.
Oh, okay.
But in his presentation of the first Shita, I don't think this will help a little bit. What kind of Shvuah does it work? So we'll say, Afilu a Shvuah de Oraisa. And I would suggest that is pretty much the Maharam and anyone who is agreeing with him, Rush, Rabbeinu Tam, that whole school. If you assume that there's such a thing called Eid Echad, Messiah, Potter from Shvuah, it means even a Shvuah de Oraisa. Okay? Now who is the big one who disagrees at the end of the Ran that I gave you? Who's the big Rishon who disagrees with that?
Ramban.
The Ramban. Now, I made things easy for you. You should just know. Like, if this would be later in the year, I wouldn't have made it so easy for you. This Ramban we have in the original. The Ramban is in the Melchamos Hashem. You familiar with the Melchamos? You know why the name of that commentary is Melchamos? Right, because he's... that's a defensive war. You should just know. Even the UN would be okay with this one.
No.
It's a defensive war.
No,
once they found out he was Jewish, they come up with a reason to be against him, but... Right, the Baal HaMor and the Melchamos, they're defending, they're attacking the Rif. It's based on the Rif. So the Ramban in the back of the Rif, there's two little things there, the Baal HaMor and the Melchamos Hashem. So first of all, the letters are usually teeny. Even if you got one of your new fancy Gemaras, it's bigger, but it's still small. But in classical Vilna Shas, the Melchamos is teeny. But it's not just the letter, the size of the font. It's just difficult to Ramban in general, especially in the Melchamos. But in this case, the Ran, who writes very beautifully and much easier to understand, the Ran, I believe, faithfully quotes the Ramban. And what is the Ramban's position? He doesn't totally reject this Marami Rutenberg. He doesn't totally reject this whole approach of Eid Echad Messiah. What does he reject?
That
it could even apply to Daraisa. He says, I'll grant you, like in our Mishnah, you're right, it's a good reading of our Gemara. He accepts Rabbi Natan Tosos reading of our Gemara, that therefore in Enachad could have been Messiah. That was the question. Lifsei Kaman Zuzi Nachad. See whose money it is. Mocher would have been able to exact the first from Shvuah. And what was the case of our Mishnah? Shvuah de Rabbanan. I got you, says Ramban. I agree. Only Shvuah de Rabbanan. Can you read that? Really bad handwriting. That's the Ramban. Now, in the Rishonim, on the Daf, these seem to be the two big Shitos. The Mar Makomos on the sheet that I gave you, there are three paragraphs in the Ran. The first was his presentation of the Rabbeinu Tam Rami Rutenberg Shita. At the end, he quoted the Ramban. And in the middle, he had his own position. What was the Ron's own position? This is just a digression to be a little fancy for 1 minute. It doesn't really alter. The next 2 minutes will not alter the course of your life or this year. But for a few minutes, just to be a little fancy, what was the Ramban's wrinkle there? His wrinkle in the middle paragraph?
One could also be from another,
even though it's not the same reason. In other words, fundamentally, this is why I'm downplaying the Ron in a sense. Fundamentally, who is the Ran? Is he a Maharam man or a Ramban man?
Ramban.
Good, you caught that. Excellent. Fundamentally, the Ran is a Ramban man. Fundamentally, it doesn't work. You guys with me in the back? Fundamentally, it doesn't work for a Shvuah d'Oraisa. But he says there's one example where it does, which is?
Against another
Eid Echad. In other words, Shvuah Eid, which is a Shvuah d'Oraisa. You have one aid to get me the Chayav of Shvuah. Right before I'm about to take the Shvuah, I have an Eid Echad Messiah. I have one aid that says no. So says the Ran, there I'll agree that the Eid Echad, my aid, is poter me from taking a Shvuah. But why does he say that? This is the key. Why should he agree to that? If he's fundamentally rejecting the Rabbeinu Tam, why does he make one exception? Because if you look carefully in the word Ma'an, it's not really an exception. Because he holds Kimande. Let's look at the. If you have your Marmakomo sheet, take a look at it. Look at the middle part. Lefichach nirali baror. Shafilu nemar sheid echad eno poter mishvo shel Torah. Even if I'm agreeing fundamentally with Ramban. Hani Mili, for example, a Shvuah Modu Mixas or a Shvuah Sashomrim. Avol Veshua Baba Hodas Eid Echad. Potter Menu Lomim Nesh Eid Echad, come lift our Mishvuah Shal Torah. Ela Mishum De Mashvilei Sadusa. Kiman De. Who wants to translate that for me? We don't view it, says the Ran, as that the Eid Echad is coming to exempt me from the Shvuah that the other aid was being mechayev me. It's that when there's two single aidim clashing, what do we do to both of them? Poof mipo! They don't exist. So there is no longer an aid echad to be mechayev me in the Shvuah. It's not that there's one aid echad being mechayev me in the Shvuah and then one aid echad exempting me from that. It's that once they clash, poof! They're all gone. So therefore, memela, I'm not going to have to take the Shvuah. Says the Ron, okay, in that case, it's true, if you were just looking at it from the outside. Is there a case where I would have had to take a Shvuah d'Oraisa, and because the Eid Echad came to my behalf, on my benefit, I don't have to take it? The answer is yes. But he's not betraying his Ramban loyalties. He's not betraying his intellectual integrity that he convinced that the Ramban is right. He's just saying that is not really against the Ramban, because it's not that it's exempting a Shvuah d'Oraisa, as much as that there's no more basis for the Shvuah d'Oraisa. So I'm going to put the Ramban, the Ran here, with in the brackets. Okay, so it's, right, this is, you know, like lemon lime with a twist. With a twist. Yes?
So is he saying that in our case, the Ofer would be canceling one of the claimants to the Dalas, the like Anasadeh?
Our case is a Shvuah d'Rabbanan. Shvuah Shnaimos.
Oh, right. But even if you said it was, I mean, because it's not necessarily like, you know, like you could interpret it as not being Kirvan, I guess.
How?
If you said that, like, the Rabbi Yochanan conclusion was only for Sumpus and not for Bananas.
Okay, I don't know if you have to do all that. I don't think you have to do all that. Yes.
Would the Ran, so the Ran is technically saying that, would the Ramban assume, would the Ran assume that the Ramban agrees with
him? I don't know.
It seems like he's saying...
But there's no way to know if it's true or not. Unless you want to roll up your sleeves and go through the Milchamos, and even then you might not know.
Is the Ran seemingly saying that nobody would disagree with this idea?
He's convinced of it. You're right. As he continues, he says, V'chein, the Ramban says. The Ramban doesn't actually say this. The Ran says it. It's logical. It makes sense. But it doesn't necessarily have to be true. Again, even the way I formulated it before, right? The Ran looks at it is that once you have the 1-8 coming, it's as if there was never an obligation. That's not, I don't know if that's so obvious. You could look at it that I had an obligation, and then Eid came to be part of it.
Meaning, aren't we saying this is technically Eid Echad B'Akasha?
I don't know. Let's leave that for now. Okay? Let's leave that for now. Yes?
So according to the ones, Rabban Tam and the Ramaharan, they say that it's a Shul Doraisa. Just because they say that an Eid Echad could be put or somebody from a Shul Doraisa, you mean that's why we get it. This Shul is a Doraisa?
No. It's not. I mean, our case is a Shul Darabanan. But they're saying more broadly, let's say it was a Shul Sashomrim case. Let's say there's a case, let's go back to the good old days of Elul. No sleep, slichos. Remember that? Right? Okay, there's still no sleep, but you can't blame it on slichos. Right, okay. So, Shu'as HaShomrim could be a Shu'a Daraisa. And then came an Eid Echad. Would it poter him or not? So says the Maram, says the Rabbeinu Tam, yes. Says the Ramban, and I think the Ran would agree. No way. Now, generally speaking, when you see people discuss the sugya, or certainly on the daf, it's generally viewed as a two-way machlokas. Is it even for daraisas? Is it only for darabanans? However, anyone be insulted if I erase this masterpiece?
Okay. No.
There's a classroom in the summer. There was I give a weekly shiur in my community on Shabbos, and usually it's in the shul. But they were doing construction on the shul in the summer, so I was giving it in the classroom in Leif HaTorah. And one week we went there, so I was giving the shiur at the tables behind a whiteboard, and someone had drawn a picture of me. So the guys couldn't concentrate the whole shiur. They're just like laughing, looking at the picture behind me. But like, with Shabbos, I couldn't erase it either. So. Anyway, that's how it goes. Okay, but I think there's actually a third shita. Who's the third shita?
Rambam.
The Rambam, where? What Rambam? What are you talking about? The Rambam in the Perish HaMishnah. Now, the Rambam's Perish HaMishnah was originally written in Arabic, translated into Hebrew. There's actually two Hebrew translations, just so you should know. The one typically in the back of the Gemara is generally not considered academically as the most precise one. Anyone know who wrote the more updated 20th century, the Spitz? The number one translation of the Rambam was, anyone know? Rav Kapach, exactly. A great Taimani scholar and Talmud Chacham.
He's the one that translated.
He's like a lot of stuff. But the Kapach, so you can get Bosada Rav Kook published a three-volume set of Perish HaMishnah, which is not convenient because it's not in the back of your Gemara. But sometimes you can really have a nafkamina. I once had that where like I had like a whole shear built on the Perish HaMishnayos in the back of the Gemara. No, and then I did what I shouldn't have done. I checked the Kapach. The whole building came crumbling down.
At least you went to actually decide.
Makabel schar ala drisha, makabel schar ala prisha. But usually it's not going to be such a big nafkamina. But anyway, I put that out of my memory. Many years and much therapy has helped me get moved past
Wait,
that.
You checked during here?
No. Okay, I was writing, I was working on a sugya, and then I thought I had something, and I'm like, timber. Anyway, so what did the Perish HaMishnayos say? And yes, you correctly. That's great. I didn't discover this Perish HaMishnayos. This was the find of the Ktsos HaChoshen. So the Ktsos points out that the Rambam seems to be against everybody else. Because what does the Rambam say in the Perish HaMishnayos? He's just explaining the Mishnah. but there is no just anything, right? Because he editorializes. So when he explains it, what does the Rambam say? And it's from that that he says that he's medayik what he didn't say. But what does the Rambam say? He says, Lechzei, Zuzei, Keman, Nakad. Why don't we ask the Mocher? Because after all, if we would ask the Mocher, then what would happen? We'd be Mechayev, one of the guys, the Shmu Doraisa, because there'd be an Eidachad of the Mocher. Does the Rambam say anything else? No, then he keeps on going, continues. So, as opposed to Tosfos that said, both of the Rosh who said, let's ask the Mocher, will Mechayev one guy Shmu Doraisa and exempt another person, totally change the ballgame for everybody. Because there are two Shmuas Darabonon, we have only one Shmua, and it's a Doraisa. The Rambam just kind of says, no, let's ask the Mocher, and one guy will have to take Shmua Doraisa. Says the Ksos, what happened to our Shmua Darabonon? Hello. Says the Ksos, you see from this, that according to the Rambam, there's no koach to exempt anything. Wow. What did the Pasuk say, right? What did the Pasuk say in that we quoted from the Gemara in Shavuos? Lo yakum eid echad b'ish l'kol avon u l'kol chatas. Okay, what's the context of the Pasuk? Obligating a person to do things, right? An eid echad can't come to make you give money. An eid echad can't come to make you take a carbon. An eid echad can't give a carbon. An eid echad can't. Comes the Chazal in Darshan, aval kam hu l'shvua. So it can obligate you in a shvua. All the other Rishonim until now felt that on some level it could also exempt you from a shvua. But says the Ksos that the Rambam holds, it can't exempt you from nothing. Nada. Zip. There is no such thing as Eid Echad poter from shvua. Don't exist. Not on a Daraisa level. Not even on a Darabana level. Nothing. And Eid Echad is not pater anything. That is the Rambam based on the Sos. Okay, so we have a three-way machlokes. Is an Eid Echad pater you even from a Shur Daraisa? Is an Eid Echad only pater you from a Shur Darabanan? Or is an Eid Echad pater you from nothing? Yes.
Couldn't you just look at it in the eyes of the Rambam? Couldn't you just say that there would be no need to have the original Shur Darabanan in the first place with an Eid Echad? Because if Basin is trying to figure out what the halacha is, and then they ask the Mocher and he says, oh, I sold to this person. So then you would say, potentially, maybe there would be no reason to implement the original Shur Darabanan in the first place, so then technically the other...
But it was already there. That's how he's looked. I mean, that's like Sosa's diuk.
Yes, yeah, so I'm saying.
There was a chiyuv shvua because they walked in both holding the talus.
But it's
now they ask the mocher, would that help to exempt him?
So it seems. I feel like it depends how you look at it, because you can look at it that based made up sock, and I'm like, oh, now we have an aid.
Yes,
so
I hear that. I hear. It's a good point.
So it could be that Rama would hold.
Okay. Fair point. Yes.
So when I was reading it, I didn't think it. I read this not as one of the three, but as this, that he just held like Rashi. So there's like Remain of Time and Rashi, and Rambam was holding like Rashi, where because everyone says Eid Echad is Mechad.
Listen, obviously, right? Obviously, look, if you take the other Rishonim like Rashi, you say the whole Gemara was about money.
That's a Rambam. Very easy.
Except for the fact, right? The only difference is Rashi doesn't address the issue of Shvua. But Rambam does, and just.
It has to be there. Eid Echad is always Mechad somebody Shvua Darais, and
only that. So. Okay, fair enough. But again, the other Rishonim, meaning until we got to the Tosos world, other Rishonim didn't mention it.
Right.
The Rambam goes out of his way to mention and throws in Daraisa. So certainly in contrasting with, let's say, Tosfos or the Rush, it certainly seems like he left something out. Hard to believe it was by accident. Let's move on a little bit, okay? We have a lot still more to cover, and I don't want, even though we started late, but I don't want to keep you too late, okay? So let's continue. So we have this three-way machlokas. The question is, gentlemen, and this is where we're going to put some hair on your chest. Just getting through the Rishonim is hard enough, but we did the easy work. Now the question is, what's going on? There are a lot of proofs back and forth. You guys saw them, I hope, during Seder yesterday. We're not going to spend so much time today on analyzing who has a better proof, not proof. Back and forth, he has a proof, Ramban thinks he answered the proofs, back and forth. But one thing is missing, it seems glaring, from the Rishonim. It's not proofs back and forth, but svaras. Why? What would make you say one of these shitas or not? Why should it be? What logic would underlie? What should motivate us? Or what would lead to our conclusion that, oh, it's even daraisas? Or what alternating svara? So that, hopefully, that's the work that we can do the heavy lifting, and we can add to this machlokas rishonim. So when we're talking about Eid Echad, poter from Shvua, so if you're, you know, mapping this out on a graph paper, our sugya, as is many sugyas, is the intersection of two halachic categories. Eid Echad and Shvua. So our sugya is the intersection of what's halacha for an Eid Echad and a Shvua. But it's two halachic categories meeting. Whenever that's the case, you have to ask yourself, what's the basis of the argument? Are they arguing about Shavua? Or are they arguing about Eid Echad? So what I want to spend the remainder of this year doing is giving both suggestions. Let's try to understand this machlokes. Perhaps if they're arguing about Shavua, then we'll try to understand the machlokes. Perhaps if they're arguing about Eid Echad. So let's start with the Shavua possibility. Now every Shavua, anyone you can think of, impacts money, right? Money is always there, right? It's like in, you know, negotiations. Whenever they say it's not about the money, it's about the money, right? So every Shavua, even if we're talking about everything, the most holy, highfalutin, Isra Vahetra things, but they always have monetary implications. That's for sure. Nothing we're going to say now is changing that. The question is how to view the relationship between the two. So let's start, and let's focus here, please, okay? I need your attention. Let's focus on a Shvua d'oraisa. Nishva v'niftar. I have my money. You trying to take it out of my pocket. The Torah says I can take a Shvua and the money can stay in my pocket. How do we, that's Shvua v'niftar. How do we understand that? You do know you have a backpack on, right?
Yeah.
Okay. In case you forgot and didn't realize it was there. How do we understand that? So one possibility, I would say probably this is the, until I try to confuse you in a moment, or complicate things in a moment, but one possibility, I think it's probably the more logical or intuitive one, is that it means what it says. You're really, the Torah is mechayev you in a shvua. That's it. If you don't take the shvua, what's going to happen? You don't take your shvua sashomer, you don't take the shvua, what's going to happen if you don't take the shvua? You'll have to pay. But that's a secondary phenomenon, which may very well likely never even happen. The only thing that happens now is, to borrow the previous lashon we had, et echad kam l'shvua. This is a shvua obligation. If you don't take the shvua, that will convert into a monetary obligation. But right now, it's only a shvua issue. However, there is another way of looking at it.
That was a big test, right?
I didn't say anybody's name. I just said, speaking now logically, let's think about things. I have a shvua. If I take it, I get to keep the money. So one way of understanding things is the simplest way. Is that Occam's razor? No. Yeah, Occam's razor, right? This, right, simplest explanation. I got that right. I studied philosophy before you were born. Anyway, a while ago, I remember some things from college. So that's the simplest understanding. I have a chayav shvua. That's what it is now. It is a chayav shvua. If I don't take it, I'll have to pay. But we'll talk about that tomorrow, and hopefully never, from my perspective, right? But there is an alternate perspective. The alternate perspective is that already now, the Torah has taken away your money. It may still be in your wallet, but right now it is hanging on by a thread. The Torah was already, to use a yeshivish jargon, it was already mafkia your zechus mamon. The Torah already is prying that money out of your hands. It is almost as good as gone. There's just one thing the Torah did. It gave you one lifeline. You can get that money back in your pocket, back where you think it belongs, if you take a shvua. But conceptually, fundamentally, your hold, at least halakhically, legally, on that money is already severely, severely diminished. In other words, it's not so much that there's a chi of shvua. It's a chi of shvua masquerading. Excuse me, I take it back. It's really a chi of mamon. You have to give that money away. It's not yours. It's a chi of mamon masquerading as a chi of shvua. We say you're chayv to take a shvua. What we really mean is you're chayv to take the money unless you take the shvua. The only way to get it back is to take the shvua. Not that you won't have to give it away if you don't take the shvua. The only way to get it back is if you do take the shvua. Right? It's the same presentation of facts. We all know, yes, take the shvua, don't pay. That's just the facts. But how do we interpret the facts? Is it that simple, or is it slightly more complicated? Okay? Everyone understand those two possibilities? With me? Good. Now, many achronim suggest that the simplest way to understand this, perhaps, is to distinguish between shvuos da'oraisa and shvuos da'rabanan. After all, when the Torah itself requires you to take a shvua, that may be more telling than that the rabbis were just machmir to add on a shvua. Hypothetically, if we're going to accept that, which one do you think would make more sense in the two possibilities? If the Torah is going to be a more powerful shvua, which makes sense, so then which one is it? Is it that the Torah's shvua took away your zchus mamon unless you take the shvua, or that the Torah said no, it's a shvua unless you don't take it, then you have to give the money? What do you think? Anyone agree or disagree with Liz?
Disagree.
The Cubs haven't won a World Series in a long time. Don't be so deferential.
I disagree.
Disagree. That's a sports reference.
I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, yeah, the Cubs. Sorry. No. Blue and red, even. You're wearing the colors. Okay. Yeah, what do you think?
I think it's the second one, because otherwise there wouldn't be any reason for you. there wouldn't be any reason for the Eid Echad to work, being that the reason why the... Wait, what are...
Okay, so let me say it this way. Okay, I'm going to say it out like Rabbi Liss, and you'll tell me if you agree or disagree. How about that?
Okay.
In those cases where there is a chiyuv of a shvua da'oraisa, perhaps it makes sense, says the Rebbe from Chicago, that the Torah, HaKadosha, took away your money. The Torah was mafkia your zchus money. After all, there's an edachad against you. Eid Echad is probably telling the truth. There's a kasuv that we don't just end it right there because Al Pishnai made him. But it's not. If the Beis Din didn't believe him, then you wouldn't have to take the shvua. When we say you have an Eid Echad mischayv you a shvua, it's because he has believability. We didn't impeach him. He seems like he's telling the truth. Just that we can't bang the gavel because the halacha says two Eidim. So he seems like he's telling the truth. Eid Echad mischayv a shvua sounds like you don't have the money anymore, in essence. It's really the Torah has already taken away your zechus. It's just that if you'll take a shvua, it's a shvua d'oraisa. Shvua d'oraisa is powerful enough to give you back your money. That might be how to understand a shvua d'oraisa. Would we really say that about a d'rabanan and a d'rabanan, where even mid'oraisa, when we say there's a shvua d'rabanan, what that really means is mid'oraisa, you're golden. You have to do nothing. You keep the money and you can go on your merry way. Chamim said take a shvua. It's hard to believe when the Chum said take a shvua, what they really were saying is, you have no more money unless you do what we say. It could be, as we'll see in a moment. But one, I would say, as a starting point, it's kind of a way of pivoting, as a center of gravity, kind of, one second, for the next few minutes to pivot around, let's start with that assumption. If you say that, so then... perhaps that's exactly what is going on here. However, let me just say one second, I'm sorry. I asked you to take a look at those Rambams in Toin V'Nitan. Do the Rambams distinguish between Shuas Darabana and Daraisa, or do they seem to equate them? What do those Rambams on the sheet imply? There's two different Rambams that make two different points, but I think they both point to a common understanding of the relationship. Is the Rambam driving a wedge in between Shavuos Daraisa and the Rabbanon, or was the Rambam kind of equating them? Right? What was the first example that the Rambam gave? Nikitas? Good, but what's the case? That is the line I'm looking for. Excellent. But what's the case? Nikitas! Chepetz. What does that mean? Anyone know? What's the halacha? You take a shvua? You have to be holding a Sefer Torah or something like that. Serious, sobering experience to take a shvua in Beis Din. A real shvua. Uwa. Rambam says, right? Nizdazeya shamayim varetz. The whole earth is shattering, is shaking. If a person takes a shvua, they wouldn't be telling the truth. Serious, serious stuff. So, says the Rambam, even for a shvua derabanan, you need a nikitas chefetz. Because, what was the line? Kobe, what was the line?
Ke'ein shel Torah.
It's the same thing. Derabanan, daraisa, but on this, it's ke'ein shel Torah. We're going to equate them. What was the second example that the Rambam gave to equate them? Anyone know? Anyone who hasn't said anything yet today? Who's with us? Anybody? Daniel, you've been very talkative. Ariel? What do you think? What was the second thing the Rambam said? Fruchter. Shiva High. Come on, man, the pride. We were the Knights when they had a basketball team. Do you still have the Knights? Do you still have a basketball team? Not this year. You need enough kids in a high school to have a basketball team. First requirement. For the record, we weren't any good, but we did at least have enough kids to have a team. And we had jerseys too. The Knights. Ooh-ah.
You guys had speaker jerseys?
No.
Where?
So lame.
We're not going to keep our wrestling segments.
That's even grosser. Oh my god! TMI! Okay, anyway, back to the sugya. What was the second thing that, okay, the Rambam said? What was the second thing? The first thing, yes, the halacha midaraisa is that when you take a shvu daraisa, you have to be like holding a Torah. It's called Nikitas Chefetz. So the Rambam is mechadesh, it's not only for shvu daraisa, it's even for shvu darabanan. They're the same thing. What was the other thing? Hipuch shvua. What's hipuch shvua mean? Right? If the Torah says, you have to take a shvua, you can keep the money. You say, you know what? I'm not in the mood. I had a high school Rebbe who once gave such a Musar Shir, I am scared to ever take a Shavua, even though I know I'm telling the truth. So you know what? I'm throwing it back on you. You want the money, you take the Shavua. Hipuch Shavua. Can you do such a thing or not? Does such a thing work or not? So what did the Rambam say?
Yes.
So the Gemara in Shavuos said, which the Rambam Paskin like, you cannot do it. And the Rambam said, also, for a shvua derabanan, you can't do it then either. So there the Rambam a second time equates the two. Now, this second one is really important because not everyone agrees with that. Tosfos and Ksubis, I didn't put this on the sheet, but just so you should know, Tosfos and Ksubis, daf, peches, 88 in your scorebook, says, no, for derabanan you can. The Gemara only says you can't do hipuch shvua for deraisa. But you want to do for derabanan? Why not? So two cases, one second, let's just make the point and then we'll take the questions. Rambam seems to bring together Shvua Daraisa, Shvua Darabanan. So perhaps if we were assuming before that in a Shvua Daraisa, what we're really saying is that the Torah has already taken that money virtually out of your pocket. The Torah didn't mafkia the Schus Mamon. It's really a Chiyuv Mamon masquerading as a Chiyuv Shvua. Just that if you take your Shvua, we'll put the money back in your pocket. The Rambam then says twice, and Shvua Darabanans are the same thing, they're Ke'ein Shel Torah. Sounds like what the Rambam is saying is that Bein and Shvua Daraisa, Bein and Shvua Darabanan, what's really happening? It's really a Chiyuv Mamon. It's just that you can keep your money if you take a Shvua. Or in the opposite case, in a Darabanan, you really have nothing. You have no connection to the money. But we'll let you get it if you take the Shvua. So it's really, really, really a Mamon masquerading. But the bottom line is, the Rambam would have, therefore, the Raisas and the Rabbanans the same. That Mishneh Torah, what does that work well with, Daniel?
It's opinion.
It is beautifully Lishitoso! The Rambam in Mishneh Torah is l'shitoso with the Rambam in Perish HaMishnayis. And this is why I especially like the diuk of the Ktsos, even though you, it was like a real, or somebody said before, or, always with the Chicago guys. Weren't sure if it's the best diuk or not, but it works so beautifully with the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, that the Rambam is equating the Araisas and the Rabbanans, that they're really, really, really all about the money. The Shavua is a masquerade. Well, if it's really, really about the money, then it makes sense to say Eid Echad doesn't work for either. Because Eid Echad is lo kam l'mamon. Eid Echad can't work for money. Isn't it for a Shavua? The Rambam understands that they're both really, really the rice money things masquerading as Chiyah Shavua. So I want to finish just the other Shitas. So in light of all this, now we can understand these other positions. Apparently, the Ramban accepts what we said 5 minutes ago. Because the Ramban distinguished between the Rabbanan and the Daraisa. In what way? It doesn't work for a Daraisa. It does work for a Rabbanan. It comes out beautiful. Eid Echad doesn't work for money. If you feel that Daraisas are really, really money, just masquerading a Shavua, they don't work for that. But if you say the Rabbanans aren't that, the Rabbanans really, really are Chiyah Shavuos. Hashem said, if you don't do it, we're going to make you pay. But they really are Chiyah Shavua. Okay, if it's really Chiyah Shavua, then that's the Gzeres HaKasuv, Eid Echad Kam L'Shavua. It works for the Rabbanan. In other words, these two approaches that had to understand the Shavua, perhaps the Ramban splits the two. In a Hanami, there's two possibilities of understanding Shavua. The Raisas are one way, the Rabbanans are the other way. Therefore, it works for the Rabbanans, it doesn't work for the Raisas. Beautiful. Easy. That's neat. Now we get back to the Rabbeinu Tama Rami Rutenberg. And we've come full circle. Rabbeinu Tam agree with the Rambam in the exact opposite direction. He agrees with the Rambam, you can't distinguish between Shuas Daraisa and the Rabbanan. You cannot separate the rabbis from the Torah. Stop it! Rabbis are one with the Torah. No separation. But unlike the Rambam holds, therefore, Eid Echad works for nothing. They hold, Benatam, Maram, Rush, whoever else is on that team, that it works for both. Why does it work for both? Apparently they hold, according to this understanding, because both, Shavuos Daraisa and Shavuos Darabanan, they're both really, really, they really are Shavuos. They're not money masquerading as Shavuos. Sometimes you can overthink things. Don't overthink things, they say. If it looks like a Shavua, if it walks like a Shavua, if it quacks like a Shavua, it is a duck. It is a Shavua. It's not a mummo masquerading. In yeshiva, you start thinking, you're like, you know, it's, no, it's a Shavua. If you don't take the Shavua, we're going to make you pay. But it's a Shavua. And if an echad works for a Shavua, not only to l'chayev you a Shavua, but also live to a Shavua. Which Shavua? All the Shavuas, because they're all Shavuas. It's not money, it's a Shavua. If you don't take it, then we're going to make you pay. But it's a Shavua case. Rambam holds, no, it's all money. Masquerading a Shavuas. It's Purim time. It's dressed up as a Shavua, but it's really a mammon. It's really a mammon. It's never going to work. Eid Echad doesn't work for money. Ramban, split decision. Now this is how we would understand the machlokes, if what it's all about is the Shavua. How does the Shavua work? Is it a Shavua really a Shavua? Or is a Shavua really saying, the Torah has already taken away your money, you could just put it back in your pocket if you take the Shavua. Really it's a mammon masquerading as a Shavua. That's one way to understand this machlokes. Okay, I'm going to stay as long as anyone wants to answer any questions, but I want to just get to the other explanation, okay? Because we're not going to have that. I don't have enough time to even do the other explanation justice. But just so to make sure we've seen everything and gone over everything, let's get to the last explanation, the final sources on the sheet, which is to say, as I mentioned before, there's intersecting things. Until now, we're only discussing Shavua. Maybe there's two ways to understand, different ways to understand Eid Echad. Right? Eid Echad is Messiah. Well, what does that mean? What do you mean? It's interesting that is the lashon of the Rishonim. Eid Echad is Messiah. How would you translate that? So there are a number of Achronim. I think maybe the first or most prominent was Rabbi Akiva Eger, certainly way before me, who suggested that there are really two ways of interpreting when we say an Eid Echad is Misayayayu. It helps you. In what way? So one possibility is to say, you had to take a Shavua, you were obligated to take a Shavua, came on the Eid Echad in support of you. It's as if you took the Shavua. You don't have to take it because you don't realize you already did take it. The Eid Echad supported you. That's one possibility. How is he Messiah you? Because. How is he Poter you? Because it's as if you did it. It's as if you said it. But there's an alternate way, which is, you could say, maybe more fundamental. Not that it's as if you did it. Rather,
you don't need to do it.
You never had to do it. You're not chayiv at all. Just rewind to 5 minutes earlier. It's not substituting for the Shavua. It is completely disregarding. There's no chiyuv at all to take the Shavua. How do we understand Eid Echad is Messiah, Eid Echad is Poter? Is it mean that as if you did it? Is it functional equivalent as if you did it? Or does it mean that you're not chayiv at all? Two possibilities. Is it Poter or is it Mafkia? So first of all, just very quickly, I spent with a few of you guys, I think yesterday, a lot of time discussing some of these particular cases in depth. But just to get a bird's eye view here. There are a number of examples, before we get back to our big machlokas here, there are a number of other areas in the world of Eid Echad, where in Shavua, where we see these two possibilities emerge. Right? One was the question of the Shar HaMishpat, the question of Gilgul Shavua. Right? Let's say I really wanted you to take a Shavua on our dispute about your apartment. The answer is we don't do Shavuos on Karka. Why? It's Exeris HaKasim. There's no such thing as a Shavua on land, on real property, only on movable things. But let's say later we have a secondary dispute, and now I do get you to take a Shavua on something else. So there's halacha known as Gilgul Shavua. Once I got you taking a Shavua anyway, I can magadol, I can add, since you take a Shavua anyway, I can mechayev you to add you're denying whatever you're thinking about the land was our first argument. What I couldn't do beforehand, once the door is cracked open, I can knock it down completely and bring in the karka too. Add the second, so it's called Gilgul. What if an Eid Echad came and is then exempting you from the, or is Masayeh you, I shouldn't telegraph anything, is Masayeh you, that you don't have to take that basic shua now. A minute ago, the Bez Din had Paskin that take two shuas. The Metaltalin, and then we'll Magagel the other one on you. And then, before you can actually do it, you've got an Eid Echad on your side. Do we say, pull out the foundation and everything falls? Or do we say, okay, you don't take that one, but the Gilgul one you still have to take. We said you have to take it. So this may be a Gilgul question, how to understand Gilgul. I'm not referring to the Kabbalistic idea of reincarnation for the record. I'm not mocking it, I'm just not referring to it. Is it a Gilgul thing? Or it may be, others say, an Eid Echad question. Right, how would you explain that machlokes, that suffix of the Shar HaMishpat, based on what we said, the two possibilities in Eid Echad?
You could say that you come in place, and Gilgul still exists, and it's like it's supposed to live.
Excellent, right? Let's rephrase that. I'm just going to agree with the Rebbe from Los Angeles. If we say Eid Echad is mafkias, as if you never had the chiyuv, so if you never had the ground floor, the whole thing falls. But if you say Eid Echad, this means it's as if I took it, so that's exactly what's supposed to happen. Take your one shvua and have a gagel, the second one. You're not in any better place than if you actually had literally taken it. Because according to that understanding, what Eid Echad means is as if you said it. Okay, now it's as if you said it, now Magagel, and now say the second one. So that would be one example of a nafkamina based on these two understandings. A second nafkamina, which is something that we spoke a lot about with some of the guys yesterday, was the back and forth between the Rosh and the Ramban. Is the case of Shomer, Shamasar LaShomer, a proof for the Ramban or not? Right, very much b'kitzur. What was that case? You're a kind of a shomer or a socher. You have my thing. then you are a muster, you gave that to somebody else, and then it dies during its work or something like that. It dies in a way that the shomer should be potter. What's the problem, says the Gemara? The guy who was the second shomer who's watching the animal can't take a shvua, because the balabayas can say, who's this guy? I never met him before. I would never have lent anything to him. I don't trust him. And that's considered legitimate. Okay, so then how about the original guy? No, who you do like, who you did trust. Let him take the shvua. Says the Gemara, he can't take the shvua. Why not? Because he wasn't there. He doesn't know. And then, since we're now caught in a bind, Tosh and Yochel Yishava. So says the Ramban, aha! That's a proof for me. Because that's a Shvus HaShomrim case. Darais HaShua. And what is never mentioned in the Gemara, which should have been mentioned if the Maram was right.
Yeah.
With me? So, let's focus. The year's not over.
The guy to whom you barred it could have been your 8 Achad.
True, the second shomer can't take a shavua because he doesn't know the balabais, but he's still a good Jew. Just because the balabais doesn't know him and wouldn't have given him his cow doesn't mean he's not a good Jew. He's still a kosher Jew. He's kosher enough to be my 1 aid. So let him. I can't take a shavua. He can't take a shavua. So now I'm chayiv. But right before I take a shavua, let him walk in the door and say, "I'm telling you, I'm an 8 acha to pater him." Since that's never mentioned in the Gemara, says the Ramban, aha! What do you see from here? That, at least on a daraisa, shvua, erechad is not exempt. Because if it would have, that should have been in the Gemara. So, what's the defense of that? What does the Ran or the Rosh say? What's the defense of that? They say, no, mitosh and yachava means that I'm chayvin money now. Oh, okay, I'm chayvin money. So the ktsos and the tumim, who... Not Gedalia, because I told you. Who besides, who knows, who is the Tumim? Anyone know? When he was a little kid, and he didn't clear off his plate, and he went into the room to play on the iPod, and his mom had to call him back into the kitchen and say, clear off your plate. His mom did not say to him, Kimaher Tumim Le, Kimaher Tumim Le. Right? That's not what his name was. Who was he? Anyone know his name? Rabbi Yonasan Ibshitz. Ah. Well, there was the argument. He was accused. I mean, yes. By who? By who? Very good. Okay. Big, big machlokas. Anyway. So Rabbi Yonasan Ibshitz and the Tumim, he's more balanced. The Ksos takes place favorites. We discussed that yesterday with some of the guys on Mitzvah Matters. But Tumim kind of just balances it out. Says, what's going on here? Do we view this as really a mamon case? Similar to what we said before. Or do we view this as really a shvua case? Okay, that's like in ahead of the lumbus. But now let's plug that back into our Kvei Echad. The Rush views that as a mamon case. Mitosh el yachol shava mishalim is mamon. He has to pay. So if he has to pay, that's not germane to our machlokas about Eid Echad potter from shvua. We all know we can't potter for money. And Ramban said, no, it's a shvua case. The fact that the Gemara didn't use the Eid Echad to potter shows that you see Eid Echad doesn't potter from shvua to daraisa. So, why would this, how would we understand that according to our Chakira about Eid Echad? So the answer, I think, is very beautifully. If you view Eid Echad as saying, it says if you took the Shvua, then Taka, that should have been a good proof. Because how come it didn't use that? And Eid Echad should have been as if you took the Shvua. The Gemara didn't say it. Apparently it's not true. But if you say that Eid Echad means that the Chiyav doesn't exist at all, and you can you say that a Chiyav money doesn't exist at all? You could say a Chiyav Shvua maybe. But if you hold it, it's money, you'd be stuck. So it comes out, I think, that the Ramban's proof is only a good proof if he assumed that the way Eid Echad works is to exempt you. Not as if you took the Shavuot, it's as if you don't have to take the Shavuot, there's no Chiv anymore. Well, how could you? That only makes sense as a proof if you viewed it was really a Shavuot case. If you really was a money case, that's not a proof. Of course it can't do it for money. So that would be a second, I call that sometimes a hypothetical nafkamina. It's not like a case where I'm saying there's two different dinim, so to speak. But here, it's in the shock of a tariah. Would it have been a good proof or not? May revolve around this question. Let's just bring it back. We'll conclude now in a minute. Let's bring it back to these three possibilities. Or it's really the big two. Is Eid Echad saying you're totally putter? It's as if you did it? Or is Eid Echad saying you were never chayiv at all? So if you say, this is if you took it, so maybe, if you took it, so what's the difference if you took a daraisa or a darabanan? Presumably that would work for everything. But you're going to tell me Eid Echad is saying I'm not even chayiv? I'm not even chayiv? Is it really true that Eid Echad has the ability to do that for a daraisa? That's a much bigger chiddush. Could be that that's the basis of the machlokas. The more powerful you see the Eid Echad in terms of how it's totally uprooting things, so in a certain paradoxical way, that can really, kind of run roughshod over a Darabana, that I hear. But to be able to do it even for Daraisa, hard to say. But if you say it's as if he took it, so if he took it, he took it. What's the difference of a Daraisa? What's the difference of a Darabana? I'm not sure how to use this for the Rambam. I'm not sure. But I think it would be a way of understanding two shitos here between the Ramban and the Ran. Okay, I'm happy to stay for anyone who has questions, but again, just order of business. I did send a...